Hey, Al, Shabbat
Shavua Tov, Kev. Here we are again on the Motzei Shabbos.
I know, I'm thinking like, is this just the Motzei Shabbos podcast?
I think it is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's definitely what it is.
But Fridays, we don't have work, and Eden is in Gan. Three out of four Fridays. So it's like, it should be easier. We should have more time on Fridays to be able to do this.
But that's the magic of Fridays, is that there's never time. The things are always crazy. There's an amazing video that I could not stop cracking up. It was, again, I mentioned him before, Mikey Greenblatt, and then a couple of other guys. And they were, it's like this pre-Shabbos, like, chaos in the house. And they're just, like, making fun of, like, every Jewish mom, basically. Did you see it? Do you know which one I'm talking about? So everyone should go check that out. It's absolutely hysterical. I don't want to ruin the ending, but I was bawling. And then I was just like, who can I send this to? Like, I can't send it to my mom, because then that's like making fun of your parents, you know? Like, you can't do that, because it hits home. When you see it, it really hits home, the chaos before Shabbos. So I sent it to one friend who was like, I think she'll get this. But luckily, I don't know too many other people who have, like, I don't know what their situation, it's, like, touchy, you know? Like, you can't just go sending that places.
Oh, I don't think it's so touchy.
Yeah, but it's making fun of Jewish women, so that's why I don't think it's so touchy.
I think it, yeah. It was made by men.
It was made by men.
Very mental.
Because women look at that, they see it. It's, like, the complete chaos of, like, everyone running around in towels, trying to get people to shower. It's 2 seconds before Shabbos, like, craziness. Just all that hecticness. Then you look at it and you see yourself and you're just like, shoot, how did they know what my house looks like?
You feel
like,
exposed.
Where are the cameras? Yeah.
Exposed.
Exactly right.
Oh, and you like take pride in your kitchen, and like when people come over, it should look not hectic. So then this is like,
I don't know about that. I'm not hiding anything. Am I hiding something?
I don't know. Presumably, it wouldn't feel embarrassing. But
no, it's still, it's like if someone calls you out on something that you know you are like, you don't do great. It's like, why'd you have to say that? Obviously.
So you're a little embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm a little embarrassed.
Okay.
Even though I do think that, generally speaking, my Fridays are better than most people's Fridays. Because I don't really try to cook on Fridays. I try to cook on Thursdays. So I don't have crazy
food. The food isn't spoiled.
The food isn't spoiled. It goes right into the fridge. We use really good Tupperware.
So no spoilers, just like a little bit of like...
Yeah, I feel like many people that are listening, potentially. I don't know. Actually, I don't know who's listening. Text me if you're listening. But
Or don't.
But that people have come to, like, at least MJ years, you've hopefully been to my Shabbos table, our Shabbos table.
And if not, come
surprise, the food was cooked 3 days before you ate it. Still tasted good.
If not.
But it wasn't leftovers. Maybe that's the difference. It's not leftovers. It hasn't been touched.
It's fresh.
Yeah. It's
from the oven into the fridge.
Or the freezer. For 2 days.
Perfect. The way it should be.
Sometimes three.
Yeah. And come visit us. Come have a meal with us in Tel Aviv.
We'd love it.
Yeah. One thing I was just thinking about before... And it was also a crazy week this past week again. But it's a little bit like, I think the first week was like 99% crazy.
Well, it's crazy also mixed with jet lag. So that's never good.
Right. That's true. And then this past week was like, I don't know, maybe 89%. 79%.
Out of what?
100.
100 what?
Percent crazy.
Crazy? A level
like
of crazy.
What percentage of the week was hectic?
What percentage of the week? Well, firstly, I did sleep 8 hours a night.
That's good.
Yeah. No, it was really hectic.
As you were saying, I slept 8 hours a night. I'm like, does anyone care about this? Do we even care about this? That I was thinking until the 1840 podcast.
Yeah, like people do.
Donovan Mishevkin. And one of his like three ending questions is like, always curious about people's sleep schedules at night. So maybe that's like a thing that people care about.
No, that just is a chunk of time that wasn't hectic in the week.
That's true.
That was the math.
Of the awake hours.
The awake hours, that's a different question.
Right, right. It is very funny, though. Rav Melamed in Kanine Halacha, or seven halacha books. So there's a concept of chetzio lachem and chetzio lahashem, which means half of the day should be for you and half of the day should be for Hashem. And so he does a whole calculation of on Shabbat and Chagim, like, okay, you're sleeping 8 hours a night. I think he even says 6 hours. I don't think he's holding by people sleeping 8 hours. I think that's not a...
He didn't consult a doctor in the writing of his halacha book.
Yeah.
Really?
And then he's like, okay, you're davening for 2 hours. And then maybe there's another dot. And then like, okay, so you have 4 hours of learning. Like you need to be like doing that on Shabbos, like if it's really half for you. And yeah, but there's a danger in being too much like optimizing your time.
Say more.
Can make you a little crazy. Can prevent you from being present.
But at the same time, the thing that helps you the most is...
time boxing. Designating time.
Designating time.
It allows you to be present. It's like, okay, this is specific davening time. This is specific learning time. Mm. Like, it's
nothing else you should be doing at
right.
that time. But
right.
that thing.
Right. So, yeah, there are ways. Yeah. Indistractable. Good book on time management.
Time management. If anybody has any questions or tips or just needs recommendations, Kevin's read it all.
I don't know if I've read it all. And I definitely haven't embraced it all, but it's a.
You've researched.
I've researched.
A fair amount of research in it.
Try to embrace it. I don't know. We were talking just before this for literally, not that there's a ton of prep that goes into it, but for the one.
We're eating pizza, yeah. And we're like, hey, what are we talking about? That's exactly what he's saying.
I was like, oh, it's push up good day. What should we talk about? But I was like, let's just keep talking about Israel. And I think that there's something of like, Kimitzion Tetzei Torah, that like from Zion, Torah comes. And like, for me, just living here, being here, listening to conversations and seeing the sights, there's a divinity, a godliness, like a holiness that I find emanating and like resonating on like a deep emotional level, which makes it Torah for me. I don't know if that's a dangerous view or like an obvious view, like, but there's something about living here that feels like Torah, that feels like mitzvot, of just continuing to build our people in our homeland and to see Hashem's hand unfolding in this part of the story of our people.
I mean, we also just have a lot of pride about our Judaism and what the Jewish people have built. And Tel Aviv is amazing that way. Like, there's so much, like, newness here.
Yeah. I told my brother, like, the classic Israeli joke of, like, what's the national bird of Israel?
I don't know this one.
The crane.
Mm.
And it's like, the all the cranes in the sky that are building on every skyline. And he's like, bro, that's such a classic dad joke. Like, it's not my, it's like a thing. It's like a well-ish known joke.
Not to make me feel bad that I didn't know it.
Yeah. But you see lots of cranes in the sky. But there's also just this spiritual building that's happening here of, I don't know, this morning at shul, like being at the kids' tefillah, like the little children's prayer that they have, which is, I don't know, it's probably 50 kids under the age of like 5 all singing like, Mora Shake, and just like singing and loving it. Yeah, and there's that building as well, which is so special. And then yesterday before Shabbat, I was listening to this podcast called Kol Cambridge, KOL Cambridge, which is someone in the community, Samuel Green, who...
He's from Cambridge.
Yeah. He...
Cole means voice, the voices.
Yeah. So he curates just like the latest Israeli music. I've heard some of the songs, but this was like an hour and 10 minutes of new Israeli music or Jewish music that I hadn't heard. And I was biking along the boardwalk to return keys to a car and just listening to some of the songs, and like really just tearing up and crying of like the sadness, but also like the beauty of building. Did I tell you about any of the songs?
You told me about one of them.
Which one?
I forgot. The Eyal Golan one.
Yeah, so Eyal Golan is a famous Israeli singer. He actually generally doesn't write all of his own lyrics, which a lot of like him and consults with a team. But there was a mom that asked him, like, hey, can you send an encouraging message to my son?
Who's in Gaza.
Who's in Gaza and feeling scared and nervous, and they just need some encouragement. And he said that, like, when he heard this message from this mom about her son, like, he couldn't sleep, and he just stayed up writing this song and, like, thinking about, like, what he would say, or what, if he was this mom, she would say, and how he's feeling and how all the parents are feeling. And, the song's called Hayeled Sheli, My Son or My Boy. And it's just really beautiful about, like, how she promised to protect him, but now he's protecting her and, like, their family, and she's, like, always tried to keep him safe and secure and promised that things would be okay. And now he's making sure things are okay, but he's also still, like, her son. And all these songs just striking a chord and taking different angles about happy, sad, continuing to build, continuing to mourn. Yeah. Any sights or sounds that have stuck with you over this past week?
Sights or sounds? I really tried to see the water every day. So that was just like a blessing. Just like 10 minutes from the beach, like, let me go see the water. Even if I can't go in it, even if I can't sit down and enjoy it fully, like, I went to go see it. And so that was just like, it's just mind blowing. It's like, wow, we live in such a beautiful, beautiful city. Unbelievable. So that was one thing. Another sight. I'm trying to think of where we've been. We went to a beautiful artist's like shop, like the strip. There was a strip near Sugar Carmel that had all of these different like artists and their crafts, like crafts, set up all throughout. Yeah, but it was not in there. It was next to it. And it's only on Tuesdays and Fridays. And we were looking. We have, thank God, a beautiful home here. And so it's called Villa to Wolf, the Villa,
the Wolf Villa.
So we just were going from vendor to vendor being like, can you make us something that says Villa to Wolf? And they're like, what are you saying? Can you write that down? Because I don't want to get that wrong because it makes no sense. I'm like, yeah, sure. So that was fun. And it was just beautiful to see so much art and the way that people create. And that felt very inspiring to me.
You also saw your friend Adina singing.
Yeah, and then, yeah, amongst all the artists, I heard this angelic voice, and I'm like, wow, that person's amazing. I'm like, Adina? And then, so, we embraced, we had a moment, and then Kevin, I was like, give her everything! And he took that literally, so he emptied his wallet into the... which,
I was like, oh, okay, I guess...
I didn't mean that, but we'll recover.
It's okay.
I'm just gonna have to not spend as much for the next 5 months.
Like, whatever. You were talking about the beach, and as I was going up the boardwalk along the beach, they had these three like incredible kites. It's like jellyfish, squid kites in the air that looked like they were floating, like really, really beautiful. And I was thinking about, I think listening to Barry Weiss's podcast. We shout out a lot of different podcasts.
Well, you like to say that you are great at compiling concepts.
Right. I'm a content.
Curator.
Curator, not creator.
Yeah.
Maybe curation is a form of creation.
You all be the judge.
It's true. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg says that too. In his shears.
At what?
On his podcast. No, he just quotes a lot of people in his Parsha perspectives or whatever his thing is called. But no, and I think Barry Weiss's podcast, she's had a few, honestly, on Israel.
It's called Honestly. He's not saying
honestly. Yeah. We're talking about how the end of the Nova Festival, like part of it was going to be the flying of these kites near the Gaza border. And like one of the ideas of the people who would fly the kites is that, hey, there are people on the other side. Some people might be sending rockets over, and like there's shelling that happens. This is pre, or like,
crazy.
This was the goal of the end,
attention.
The attention of the end of the Nova Festival on October 7th to like fly these kites. And there have been other kites that the community in like Far Aza and other people to like show, hey, you know, we want peace. We're thinking about you. Like there's humanity on both sides of the wall. And those were the people who were like brutalized and murdered. And it goes back to also last week, we were talking about like the teddy bears, like kites being something that are like you have one small hole in the kite and like the whole thing like comes down. I just saw like the images of these kites flying and thought of all those peace-loving people.
I didn't know that that was the plan for the culmination of the event.
Yeah. So I just saw them flying and also started crying. I've been crying a lot in Israel.
A lot.
Yeah. And maybe, it's, I don't know.
What do you think it is? You think you've just had it bottled up for like the 29 years that you've lived in America?
I definitely, yeah, I mean, I cried a lot after October 7th for like the 2 weeks after. I don't know. I really, one of the other songs that was on this Cole Cambridge was Giburei Me'al, which means like superheroes or like heroes from above. And is talking about, it's like all these cute rhymes about like, oh, this bus driver who's like a commander in the army and this person who generally serves ice cream, but is now like serving, I don't know, bandages and like stitching people up in like as a medic. And I don't know if it's guilt or just a sense of feeling sad for that like people have to go through this. And I remember a tweet that I saw after the Super Bowl where there was like Scientology and join us, like Christianity, like come to Jesus. And it was like all the Judaism stuff was like stop anti-Semitism, which is basically another way of saying just like, just leave us alone. And yeah, that's the hard part. It's like, why does it need to be like this? Why can't that person serving ice cream just continue to serve ice cream? Why can't the person who's the CEO of a high-tech company like just do that? I went to a bris Tuesday morning, just like happened to be go to davening.
He cried at it.
Because the dad of this new baby boy like just got out of Gaza like 2 days before his wife gave birth, and then they had the kid, and like this was like the coming together of their family, and like that's what people want to be doing.
Right.
Like no one
wants to be in this situation.
Yeah, it's like you see these people like calling for a ceasefire. Like Israel would love nothing more than a ceasefire. No one wants to do this. Like wanna just be done. Just like accept that we're here, accept that like this is reality. Yeah. So leave Israel alone. Leave the Jews alone. But Purim's coming up.
It is.
It's like next Saturday night.
We have Hamantashen to consume.
Yeah, so we can't do it next Saturday night. We're going to read, there's the Megillah and this. So it got to be better this week.
Oh, yeah, we can't do the podcast next Saturday night. We'll see what happens.
Anything you're thinking about for Purim or Adar?
It's like one of those situations where you're so busy doing a million things that are so practical that it's been hard to like give your full like spiritual side attention. So I wish I had a better answer for you, but I've just been super thoughtless.
Right. I've also been thinking about that and hoping that there's an idea of like vinafoch.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Yeah, what does that mean?
Oh, there's going to be this switch, this flip of just like, okay, very practical, get things done, chuck, 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 this, that, and then to just be like this complete like elevation and like spiritual release almost.
Yeah, like that perm could be a pivot.
Yeah.
From us being very much in go, go, go mode to having space.
Yeah. Well, I think that will be the case because there is a chance that we host a 90-person Suda at our apartment. And so once everybody leaves, that will be a Vinafo group. It's going to happen.
But we also, we're believers in the first time that we host in our apartment. That's like when we moved in.
Yeah.
So if we host this Friday, if we host something over Purim, we might be hosting a Shir Wednesday night.
We are hosting a Shir.
We're hosting a Shir Wednesday night. So cool. You're in Tel Aviv, come through.
There will be Hamantashen making.
There will be Hamantashen making and Torah and maybe fun mixed drinks. We'll see what happens. So hopefully like by utilizing the space, it'll make us like use our own spiritual capacities or feel like that's the switch. And also a switch for Am Yisrael, that we should go from a time of also feeling very like tachless, like very like go, go, go. Fun. Although I was the other day at a class and someone there finished Daf Yomi of Baba Kama, which is like a very difficult tractate of Gemara in Gaza.
Mm.
Like over 100, 20 pages of Talmud that he learned. So sometimes people, even when they're in go, 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 can make that spiritual space. And that's what we should think about this week. How do we carve out spiritual space amongst our go, go, go space?
Yeah.
Well, wishing everyone a beautiful week. And
an easy fast on Thursday.
And to, see your part of yourself as a part of the Jewish story. That's like what Esther says, like, or Mordechai tells Esther that, like, maybe this is your time. So I hope it's our time as individuals, as a people, and that we're able to seize the moment and whatever place we're put in, whatever place we should be placing ourselves in.
Amen.
Thanks, Al. Have a beautiful week and a beautiful Purim.